Welcome back to Your Average Witch, where every Tuesday we talk about witch life, witch stories, and sometimes a little witchcraft. Your Average Witch is brought to you by Crepuscular Conjuration. This week I'm talking to Jolynn Rose, the womb witch. Jolynn talks about acupuncture, moon phases, and bringing ceremony into your life. Now let's get to the stories. Jolynn, hello.
Aloha, Kim. Welcome to the show. Aloha, Kim.
Okay, now I understand how it's morning. I was wondering. Can you please introduce yourself and let everybody know who you are and what you do and where they can find you?
Sure. Aloha, everyone. My name is Jolynn Rose. I am living in the Hawaiian Islands. I live on the island of Kauai, and I can be found, online. You can find me at my website, which is just jolynnrose.com. And what I do in the world is, locally, I'm an acupuncturist and herbalist and a peristeam hydrotherapist, which I could explain more in our chat. And online, I do offerings where I share with womb bearers, basically like different ways of working with me with like steaming and Chinese medicine and herbal remedies. And I'm also a womb guide in a shamanic womb school. And just continuing to always learn and grow and add to my toolbox. Stirring more.
Hopefully we all do that. I hope we're doing that.
Stirring more into the cauldron all the time, adding more little pieces. Mm-hmm.
Can you please tell us what it means to you when you call yourself a witch, if you do?
Yeah, this phrase witch is new to me in terms of like relating to myself as a witch. Recently in the last year or two, someone referred to me as like the womb witch because my specialty is women's health and medicine. And at first I was like, oh, that's fun. Like that's an interesting way to put it. But in the last year, I've really embraced what that is. And for me, it's really the sense of like being a wise woman of the earth and really bringing in all of the elements into everything that I do and bringing nature back into our daily lives.
Would you say that you have any family history with a magical practice? Or is this something that you are just diving in yourself?
I have been diving in myself. There is no known family history of it. No. Nope.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fresh.
Well, can you introduce us to your practice? Like how it works? Do you have any daily rituals or anything that you do regularly, even if it's not daily?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my daily life, I definitely take time every day to be in nature and to give back in some way, and usually like to go out and pick some flowers and bring them in and bring them to my altar and have them with me either in my home or in my office, in my practice. I like to bring little elements in there just to add that little bit of like magic and life back into the mundane every day. That's a big part of it. Sitting and being with plants and drinking tea. I drink a lot of pu'er tea, and that's a big ritual for me. And another piece of what I do is really working with the moon and the lunar phases and where we are in the lunar phase and bringing that into my everyday life and also into my work. So that's a huge piece. And like gathering, you know, I love to charge my crystals under the moonlight. I love to put water out under the moonlight and then bringing in. And then in the mornings, I have a practice of like anointing myself with that energy, maybe like my third eye or my crown or my heart, my womb, and just really like taking time to breathe and ground in to my being. Yeah.
I have a curiosity / nosiness question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you do any sort of wheel of the year, not necessarily the wheel of the year as is genuinely understood, but that sort of relationship with the seasons? Do you do that there? Do you have winter?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've lived in Hawaii for 26 years. So the subtlety of the seasons is alive within me. I feel it. And I definitely tune into what's happening in general here in the Northern Hemisphere. And yeah, there is like a shift. It's not like such a, it's more subtle, right? Like when you live somewhere that's seasonal, I grew up in a seasonal place. I grew up in Canada. So I have that embedded in me. Like I feel the seasons deeply. And here in Hawaii, it's taken years for me to like, drop into like, oh, okay. So now it's more like, oh, this fruit is now in season and that one isn't. And the days are shorter, and still shorter. And like the ocean changes. Oh, now in the winter here on the North Shore, we have like all this weather, all these waves. And then in the summer, it's like a lake. So there are these like nuances that I pay attention to. And in terms of like my practices, I definitely, you know, both Chinese medicine and the work that I do in the womb shamanic realm is very much like both of them are very much based off of the wheel of the year, kind of seen a little differently, but based off of one's based off of like in Chinese medicine, we have like 24 seasonal nodes. So every couple of weeks, it's like a shift in the energy of what's happening with the seasons and like simple things like, you know, the way that we look at spring as like spring equinox is the beginning of spring. But in Chinese medicine, we look at it and we're saying, no, that's actually not the beginning. That's the peak. And it's actually like the Chinese New Year time, which we have coming up is it when in relation to spring is like when it actually starts. So it actually starts 6 weeks before. And then that's like the apex of the season. And then it continues. So I work with that. And I also work a lot with like the Celtic wheel and honoring like Imbolc, which is coming up and different festivals in that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm always tuning into it. And of course, in the realm of women's work that I do, I'm also diving into like the inner seasons within us and how that relates to our bodies.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the beginnings of menopause and I don't like it.
Would it help
it's
you?
It's annoying.
We refer to menopause as the second spring in Chinese medicine because it's like in your springtime is like your renewal and your growth. It's when, you know, when you're younger, that's like when you're coming into that, like your menarche and your everything's changing. And so there is a way to like look at it with Chinese medicine. It's like as we go through menopause or moonopause, as I sometimes like to call it, it's like this chance to like kind of like restart. And a lot of women find that they may shift careers or something dramatic happens during that time because it's like the it's like a natural like rebirthing of yourself into this new phase that you then get to go into for the rest of your life, right? Then you go from like you kind of like drop out of like the mother time of your life and you kind of get to sit on your throne and be a queen. So I hope that helps.
Okay, yeah, that I like that idea. I'm a queen now.
Yeah.
But things have been shifting. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't love change, but okay. Mm-hmm. All right, nature.
Well, the only thing constant is change, right? So
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
How would you say witchcraft has changed your life?
I would say for me, it's been this beautiful sense of like bringing more ritual and more ceremony into my life. And so it's giving me, I think, you know, honestly, it's like I was already doing it and I didn't know what I was doing, right? As I dropped deeper into living somewhere where I felt more connected with nature, having grown up somewhere that was quite cold, I always had this like kind of like, not a repulsion for nature, but just like winter was so hard on me. And so I really got to drop in here living in this, in Hawaii, and being like, okay, so now I'm like actually a part of this instead of like resisting it, you know? So, that's really been beautiful to kind of like come in and like have these practices and really work with the moon. I work with the moon in my personal life and also in my acupuncture practice. I've been working with something called lunar acupuncture, where I really tune into what phase the moon is in, and then what like acupuncture points and what energy do I want to bring into the body to help the body move through. Like, say we're coming up to a full moon, then I like to bring that into my practice and be like, okay, the energy of this moon is going to be like this. So let's drop in a few of these points along with people's constitutional things and maybe some essential oils and things. And so I feel like just like diving into this like witchy world that I'm finding myself in is really supporting me on all levels. And then it extends out and it supports the people that I come in contact with in my daily life in various ways. Yeah.
That's super interesting. I've only gotten acupuncture once. Mm-hmm. And that was, I will be honest, before I got it, I thought it was kind of woo. And I was like, I don't know about that. But then a guy that I was dating said, you seem really stressed today. And like you're vibrating almost. So he did something. And I thought, oh, okay, sure. We're going to do this. But then I actually did something. And since I went in expecting it not to work and it did work anyway, my mind was completely changed. So
yeah,
that's the idea of adding on, the idea of adding all that other stuff too. Holy shit.
Right? And that's the beautiful thing. It's like, you know, people often come to see me and they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. That's like, what you do is like magic. Like people have been telling me that for years, like acupuncture is magic. What you're able to, how you can just like go into these places and just like shift a whole, like whether it's physical or emotional or all the layers of things, and just shift it into something else in the matter of like 45 minutes is just like a gift. It's just like a magical, like, and people are like, I don't understand how it works, but thank you. And that's kind of like where my curiosity grew too. I used to get acupuncture and it was changing my life. And I was like, why is this working? And so I just went down the rabbit hole, you know, into like, okay, I want to know more about this. Cause I was already in the herbal world and I was studying Western herbology and working with Hawaiian herbs. And then I was like, okay, this is the next piece, right? So yeah, I do. I get to do magic every day in that way. It's really beautiful. And then yeah, adding these new layers has been really fun to just like learn and dive in and be like, oh, okay, now we can support this, you know? Yeah, on a deeper level.
What would you say is the biggest motivator in your practice, and has it changed since you first started?
My biggest motivator and the reason why I really dove into, this practice and acupuncture in general, my magic is really to support women. You know, I came from a time in my life where I had a really imbalanced cycle. And when I was bleeding for too long and then too often. And so once I started experiencing acupuncture and herbs, I didn't just do needles. I also did herbal medicine at the time. And my body changed and my cycle changed. And I started adding in things like, oh, you're going to drink these herbs every day and you're going to burn this moxa on these points and stop the bleeding. And all this like beautiful stuff came into my life. I started getting this curiosity of why is it working? How is it working? And it started to shift my mind. And then when I went into the field and started to study, it was so that I could come through and support other women with their own issues. So that was definitely like imbalances and things that come up, because I felt like there's a real lack in the medical world and the Western medical world with women's health. And yeah, so we often,
I'm mad about it.
Yeah, we often kind of get like pushed under the like rug and filed into like, oh, well, this study worked for men, but you know, so it should work for you kind of a thing. And so I just deeply am passionate about being able to provide alternatives to that and also work in conjunction with other, you know, with, I love when people come in with some diagnostic they've had done and then we can work with that. So that's been a huge part of it. And also with pregnant women and postpartum, that was part of my like wanting to give back to that population, which is huge and often also not cared for properly. So I kind of dove in with that passion. And then as my practice, you know, you have to build a practice and kind of, you know, of course I treat everyone and I treat all kinds of things. But in the last like 4 or 5 years, I've really dove back deeper into women's health and into the womb and really like understanding more of that. And that's kind of when I found out about this steaming, which is what I was referring to earlier. You know, I'm now a peristeam hydrotherapist. And basically what that means is that I'm trained in something called vaginal steaming or yoni steaming or pelvic steaming. And so I've added that into my practice as well to support women and men who may be having issues in their pelvic area, but a lot for the women and a lot for the mamas, and really like supporting that. So that's become a new avenue that I've been able to like dive into and get my, you know, use some of my herbal knowledge and bring that in as well. And it's been really a beautiful complement, because a lot of what we do in steam therapy is based off of Chinese medicine principles about how to treat people and how to care for them. And so it's been like a natural progression for me. And then more recently, I've kind of evolved into this learning more about like the shamanistic path of the womb and how to really tap into the portals of the womb and also support women that way on like an energetic level, kind of like a quantum level. Yeah. So it's just, I'm just evolving as I learn and I grow with what, where my passions lie and interests and the things that come through and find me and that I find to share. Yeah.
So they do pelvic steaming for men too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. It's used for, well, men or women, it could be used for hemorrhoids, colon issues. And I've had people who have like pain, like pelvic pain, maybe from car accidents or just various things in life. And use steaming for that because it relaxes all the muscles in the pelvis. So yeah, men can do it too.
I had heard of yoni steaming, but it This may sound dumb and whatever. Maybe it is. Because they have an Audi and we have an innie. It just made sense to me that it would go up.
Right. Yeah, that's true. In a woman, the steam does rise up. Like, that's the nature of steam, right? It goes up and it penetrates and it can, like, get through things. It can get through the cervix and into the uterus. And in men, it's a, you know, same thing. Like, there's the, like, the steam penetrates, but it has the ability to relax and to soften things. So, yeah, it can be used in either.
Mm-hmm. New info for me.
Yeah.
What would you say is your biggest struggle when it comes to your practice?
I would say the biggest struggle is the follow through of working with people, like working with clients, and then having the follow through and keeping that like momentum going. When people see results, they usually stop. or they don't see results and they stop. Yeah.
Like physical therapy. Oh, wait, yeah. I'm done.
Exactly. It's kind of like that too. And so because I've seen and worked with so many people that are like kind of like a one and done kind of a thing, you know, I really got motivated to create more of like a mentorship program for people where they can sign up for like 3 months of working with me so that we have that one-on-one time. And they also has some like follow-up, like, okay, you paid for the whole thing, so let's meet in a month and let's check in and see how we're doing and how you're doing. And do we need to adjust anything? Do we need to shift anything? So that's been really supportive and helpful to try to like break through the struggle of, you know, people not getting results.
How great would it be if that was part of general healthcare, because it hasn't been in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I go to get PT, then I get 6 appointments once a week and no in between, no checking in. There's no, okay, we're going to revisit this. They'll revisit it in those 6 appointments, mm-hmm. but not 2 months away. That would be great. I'd love that you do that.
Yeah, follow up is key for sure.
Do you feel like you have imposter syndrome at any point in your practice? And if so, how do you deal with it? Or how did you deal with it if you don't anymore?
I think we can skip that. I don't think it's really been an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
What brings you the most joy in your practice?
The things that bring me the most joy is when someone comes to me and they get pregnant. That's always really joyful to hear about that, if that's something they've been trying to do. Or they come back and they're like, oh, and they start talking about something and I remind them that they had this whole other issue and they totally forgot that they even had it. And it was such a big deal when they came in maybe 2 weeks prior and then they've moved on to something else. That brings me a lot of joy. And I always love meeting the little babies that I get to support. I do a lot of like labor work, like pre-labor preparation, and both with acupuncture and steaming, and then being out in my community and like being around the little ones afterwards. And always, I think in general, it's like when someone comes to me out of the blue and they're just like, oh my gosh, you totally changed my life in some way, whether it was like emotionally, physically, you know, on some level. And I've, you know, I'm like, oh wow, right. So powerful what I get to do and what I get to share. And it just feeds my soul in a nourishment way where I'm like, oh, I want to do more of that.
Are you a doula or do you work like as a regular partner with a doula?
I am not a doula. I do not attend births. I work with a couple midwives and doulas on the island, and they'll send people to me for pregnancy related issues. And a lot of times I meet people post like their due date and they come in, which ideally I love to see them before their due date so that we can, the people that I see before their due date don't come to me after. Let's just put it that way. They naturally go into labor usually, but a lot of times if people kind of are like overdue and it's kind of like, okay, we need a little nudge from Jolynn that gets sent to me. And so I do work with people mostly in my office in that way, occasionally in women's homes, and occasionally I am called to a birth to support with acupuncture and or steaming during the labor if it's stalled, because it's like, okay, this is kind of the last resort before we start talking about possibly transferring, because a lot of people are doing home births, right, that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm not typically at a birth unless it's something like that. And then I'm there and I do my part and then I move on. Yeah. I let the midwives and the doulas do their part. Yeah. But then I love to work with women like postpartum, then after the babies come, to help, like, I mean, vaginal steaming, that's its number one worldwide like use that we found is generally, that's it, postpartum. That's what it was used for cross-culturally around the world. So it's a great time for me to set up with people and get them steaming to help support their recovery, mm-hmm. bring their body back.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's something you did early on in your practice that you don't do anymore, and why don't you?
Well, something that I used to do in my practice, I guess things like taking different types of insurance. I don't really do all of that anymore. And what was the other part of the question?
Why don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's that thing where it's like, I love to be able to use my time to do what I love to do and what I'm really good at, and spending hours in the back end doing like paperwork is, yeah, it's not really my zone of genius. And I did it when I started a lot more because, you know, I was building a practice, and I'd also been trained by a massage therapist when I was in acupuncture school in how to do it all, how to do billing and all those things. And so I had a familiarity with it. It wasn't like totally out in left field and I was grasping. So yeah, I don't do a lot of that anymore. I get to do more things that I love to do.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite tool? It does not have to be a physical object. It can be an idea or a song. But what is your favorite tool in your practice, and how do you use it?
That's interesting. The first thing that's coming to mind to me is different forms of heat, honestly. That's what's coming to the forefront is, unless somebody has a hot condition, I love to really support people with warmth. I have like a nice warm gemstone table warmer on my table. I've got far infrared heat lamps in my room. I've got moxa, which is mugwort that I burn over acupuncture points and meridians. And that's probably like the one thing that, you know, people are like, can you come to me? And I'm like, well, I can come to you, but I'd rather you came to me so that I can really like give you my full treatment of what I love to do. And of course, steaming is another one of those pieces. And I love to also provide people with like warm tea. So I'm always like, I have such a like nourishing, warming, warm you up quality that I love to bring into the space.
What did you say? A gemstone table warmer?
Yeah. So I have, the on my massage table, I have this mat and there's various ones. There's different brands that make them, but there's a couple of different ones that I use. One of them is called a biomat, and that one is filled with amethyst. And so, and then it has different levels of heat. And so you can adjust the heat levels, and it has far infrared technology in it. And so with the addition of the amethyst actually helps bring it deeper into the body and conduct that heat. Sometimes tourmaline is also used. And so I like to have that, you know, as a grounding pad, as a warmer for people. And if people are really, if they don't want so much warmth, I might turn it down a little bit for them or turn it off. But generally I keep it at a nice, like warm level so that you get on there and you're just like, that way I can like help soothe back pain, even though they're laying on their back, I can help them with things that way. And yeah, they're great.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, they're really great.
I know people are going to be wanting to know about that. I want to know about that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And it's something that everybody could have at home too. You know, they make smaller versions, even the infrared heat lamps. Like I've had patients be like, where did you get this from? I need one. Cause you know, it's just something that you can have, and you can have it like on your shoulders, or you can kind of spot treat yourself a little bit better that way. So that's a big part. And the moxa that I was speaking to, is a Chinese medicine thing, that we've, you know, they've used for centuries. And, it's something that really helped me in my practice. And it's something I send home with people a lot, because it's literally just like this little stick, and you light it, and it's has like a little ember on it, and you don't touch the skin with it, but you go over the area. And I'll have people come in with like ear issues, like water in the ear or something, or earaches, and multiple other things too. And I'll just be like, oh, take some moxa and just like, you know, put it over your ear. And it's like the only thing that soothes it. And it's something that we can do at home, because ultimately, you know, everything I'm doing is to have people find the tools at home so that they have their practices that support them, so that they don't have to come see me as much. Right. So that's one piece of it.
So the opposite of capitalist healthcare. Good for us. Good for you and us.
Yeah. And then there, you know, I mean, then there's also like stress reduction and maintenance treatments. I recommend people do come in, like, if anything, like maybe seasonally, right? Like come in once a season and get a little tune up and check in, and then, you know, go on your way. Yeah. Little tune up, little, and we call them like AccuNaps, right? Cause a lot of people come in and end up falling asleep. So it's a nice little nap time. Get acupuncture, just drop in.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Can you pick out one decision in your life that you made that changed the course of the rest of your life?
Yeah, actually I can. I would say the one main thing, other than leaving Canada and coming to Hawaii, that was a huge thing. And it wasn't like, it kind of happened for me. I didn't plan it, so to speak. It wasn't like a decision that I made, but once I was here, And then I met the father of my child, soon to be later, the father of my child, I would say around that time, and his support of supporting me and being here and helping me with all the like legal stuff that had to happen. And then of course the choice to have a child and to bring her into the world, and has definitely like changed the course of my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's huge. A good one.
Yeah.
How do you pull yourself out of a magical slump?
Well, for me, cleansing, bodies of water, getting into the ocean and bathing in the salt, and just kind of getting lost into that world with the fish and the sand and all of that really just pulls me out of any kind of funk that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And brings me back. Yeah.
I miss water a lot.
I bet.
Dang it. Think about the three biggest influences on your practice. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be an idea, a pet, music, some food you like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But think about the three biggest ones and thank them for what they bring to your practice.
The first one is an idea. It's a concept of our human bodies, our vessels being a microcosm of the earth, of the macrocosm, and that we are nature and that we are a part of nature. And there's nothing to separate us from anything around us, and that we are dramatically influenced by what's happening around us and how it affects our internal being. That's a big one for me and my work. And another piece that's coming through is this concept of the Trinity. And there's two different ways that it's come through in my life, in my work. And one of them is, the connection of the earth and the sky and the human. And when I was studying acupuncture, one of my teachers said to me, she said, just think of yourself as like, you know, an acupuncture we use insertion tubes for it to put in the needles. And she's like, you are just like this insertion tube. You are a vessel. You're just the tube. You're just an open channel, basically. And you're just receiving from the earth, and you're receiving from heaven and all the like ancestors and all your guides and everyone who's out there. And basically, you're just like that channel. You're holding that, and then that's the energy that you put into the person. And so you're coming from those two different realms and then sharing that. And then in the in the quantum womb healing work that I do, there's a similar thing where we have like the trinity of our womb, our physical womb, and Gaia's womb, the earth's womb, and then the cosmic womb where everything is birthed from. And I do a lot of work bringing those three together and really pulling from those places and then listening to the guidance that comes from that place. And in terms of, there is a, I would say my acupuncturist, when I was going through my physical imbalances and my womb was off, he really was one of my like mentors and really supported me in bringing everything. He did everything in his power to make sure that I got better and that I got the results that I needed. And from like doing trades with us, you know, all kinds of things just to like keep me coming in and keep that going. And he really taught me about my cycle, the fact that I had different phases in my cycle, and you know, how to like brew herbs, how to do the moxa, how to do all of these things to support myself. And that was very foundational to what later became my practice, to my health, to my pregnancy, to my practice. And I ended up going to the same acupuncture school that he went to and learning there. So those are three big things that are really present in this moment. Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Do you have any advice for anybody just starting out in a magical practice?
I do. I believe in simplicity. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go buy any special anythings, you know, just the things that resonate with you. And, you know, it can be so simple as like lighting a candle every day or taking the time to go out and observe the stars and the moon and just really be gentle and easy with yourself and really tune into what it is for you. And know that it doesn't have to look like what it is for anybody else out there. It's your practice.
That's the whole point of this podcast. All that and me getting to be nosy in other people's lives. But for everyone else, that's the point.
I nailed it. I didn't even know. See, I'm tuned into you.
Also, be gentle with yourself. Holy crap. New people, that's the big one for me. Be gentle with yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to pick a label. You don't even have to do witchcraft. But be nice to yourself when you're figuring it out. Who do you think would be interesting to have on the show and hear these questions answered by? That's terrible grammar. Who should I have on the show?
There's this lovely woman that I work with, and her name is Deborah Stanley, and she's based out of the UK, and she is my womb shaman mentor. And she runs all kinds of lovely events and online and also programs. And she's just a wealth of knowledge. So.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything I didn't ask you or any questions that you had for me?
Yeah, Kim, I would love to know, why did you start the podcast and what's your history?
Oh, no. I started the podcast because originally it was because I wanted to promote my jewelry business. And so I was going to do a sort of sponsorship brought to you by blah, 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 Clever Kim's Curios. And it turns out that I really like doing this. It's fun, and I like learning about new stuff, and I like getting to talk to people virtually and not being in the same room with them, because that's terrifying, and humanity stresses me out. But I like this. And my history, like magic, I was a weird little kid, and I read a lot, and I wanted to live in Middle Earth and Narnia. And then when I got a little bit older, I wanted more control over things that I don't have control over, and I needed help with things. And this sort of gave me kind of sovereignty over myself. and over things that happened to me. And so I've been fooling around with witchcraft for like more than 2 decades, at least. Mm-hmm. That's like the earliest official witchy thing that I did was, I think, in 2002 in Germany. The first one that I can remember clearly as, okay, this is a witch thing that I'm doing. But I've been doing weird witchy shit forever.
I can relate.
Do you have anything going on in your area or any specials that you want to talk about?
Yeah. So I do tend to do like healing events locally where I tune into the lunar acupuncture healing circles where I collaborate with a sound healer, and I hold events where a group of people, about 8 people, come together and we bring in crystals and oils and the lunar acupuncture energy and the sound. And I do like group sound bath styles with acupuncture with like cards and the whole thing. That's kind of like my fun little local witchy magic that I share with my community or visitors. And in terms of things that I offer outside of the island for people otherwise, you know, we just began our year-long 4-season apprenticeship where I'm hosting as a womb guide, and that's with Deva Pathways, and that's a really beautiful offering. And there's lots of things if you want to tap into that are offered throughout the year for the public. And then it starts again in January of next year. And that's a deep dive into listening to the voice of your womb. So that's a really beautiful offering that I'm holding space for right now, the group of women. And on my website, which is jolynnrose.com, you can find my consultations and mentorship. I do vaginal steaming consultations where I also incorporate food and diet therapy and maybe herbal medicine and maybe some qigong and various things in with the steaming practice. And I also provide, I have my own signature steam blends for different imbalances and constitutions for women and men. And then I have my mentorship, my triple moon mentorship, where I work one-on-one with people for the 3 months and really do a deep dive into shifting whatever's going on for you into something, yeah, that's supportive, that really pulls you out of or gets you into wherever you want to go next. So that's me, and that's where I'm at, what I have to share.
And everybody, be sure to check the show notes so you can find the link to her website and just click it. So you don't have to remember anything. You can just click it and it'll be there. So the last two things that I ask of my guests, the first thing is, can you please recommend something to the listeners? Anything at all? Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be themed or magical or whatever. Just whatever you're into right now, recommend it.
I would say that everyone would benefit from understanding what phase the moon is in, and also to look at what phase you were born under. Like for myself, I was born a few days before a full moon. And so when that time comes around again, to like tune into how you're feeling in yourself during that time, I just find it so valuable to know that, and also to understand what's happening celestially, at least with the moon, so that you can ground into that energy in that field.
That's fun advice. I have looked that up before, but I don't remember exactly which moon it was. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So it's more than just like, you know, I have a Leo moon. It's like, okay, you have a Leo moon, but what phase was the moon in when you were born? Because it affects you. I've had people come to me and they're like, this thing keeps happening to me every time the moon's like this. And I'm like, can you see when you were born? And she looked and she's like, that was my moon phase. That's where I was born. And it all just like clicks, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was waxing or waning. I don't remember. I know it wasn't a full or new.
Right. So that's my recommendation for you, Kim.
That's a good one. The last thing is, please tell me a story. It can be a story from your life, your funniest memory, how you got a pet, how your kid was, like your kid's birth story. Somebody told that once. That was a fun one and stressful a little bit, but it was fine. Or just a favorite story that you learned when you were a kid that you just love.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about birth, as you mentioned, and rebirth right now. So that is a very present story for me when you ask me that. I'll tell you the story about how we got my daughter's name. How about that? That's a good one. Instead of the birth story, I'll tell you how we found her name. After I found out I was pregnant, my daughter's dad and I, we were living on the Big Island at the time. And the Big Island has the active volcano on it and the beautiful goddess Pele, as we call her, energy. And she was conceived and birthed very close to all of that. And so the night after discovering that I was pregnant, I went with him to go out to see the lava. And it was a real testament to my womb because it was a four-wheel drive, like lava road that had kind of been like bulldozed and you had to drive over it and it was bumpy. And I had this like part of me that was like, okay, am I going to like be able to stay pregnant on this road? Is it going to shake the baby out? Like I remember having these
shake
feelings.
The baby out.
I didn't know. I was like, oh my gosh, I was just questioning everything at that point. Like, and so So we go out there and there's areas. So this lava flow happened in the 90s and it covered a town, basically a little village. And there was areas within the lava where there was like just trees and a road that used to be, and it'd be like completely surrounded by lava and you could drive out there. And so we went and we sat in some of those trees. And you could see like the hill in the distance with like the red streak coming down and the lava flowing. And we just sat in meditation. We were with a couple other friends and he looked up at me from his meditation and he put his hand on my belly and he goes, Amber Rose is coming through. And I'm like, it's a girl? And he's like, yeah. Her name's Amber Rose. And I was like, whoa. And this is on a full moon. So this was a full moon that we went out and that was like, okay, it's a girl. It's Amber Rose. That's a beautiful name, you know, like lovely. And then, the next full moon, I was at my home and I was watching the moon rise. And from my home, I could see the moon come up from behind the trees. And so I'm watching the moon come up and it rose this like gorgeous, like, amber color. You know, sometimes when the moon first comes up, it's like a deeper yellow. It's not so white. And I'm watching it and I come over to him and I'm like, it's Amber Moon Rose. And he's like, oh, that's beautiful. And so that became her name. She got the Hawaiian version legally. She's got the Hawaiian version on her birth certificate. So her name is Amber Mahina is Moon and Loke Lani is Rose. So my daughter became Amber Mahina Loke Lani, Amber Moon Rose, and then she was born under a full moon. Probably about 7 months later or something.
That's so pretty.
It is. It's just so, and I knew when I looked at the dates of everything, like the intuition, my intuition really came online and the dates, and they were telling me my due date was Christmas. And I was like, cause I was due in December, and I said, no, my baby's not going to be born on Christmas. That doesn't feel right. And I looked at my Wee Moon calendar and I was like, oh, there's a full moon on the 30th. She's going to be born on the 30th. And she was. So it's just magic. I don't know what else to say. So beautiful. Such a beautiful part of the journey, part of my journey for sure. And hers, the That's, beginning of hers.
I love that. That's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I had a really fun time talking to you. And everybody be sure to go follow Jolynn on socials. And I will see you over on Instagram. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Your Average Witch. You can find us all around the internet on Instagram at Your Average Witch Podcast, Facebook.com/groups/Hivehouse, at www.youraveragewitch.com, and at your favorite podcast service. If you'd like to recommend someone for the podcast, like to be on it yourself, or if you'd like to advertise on the podcast, send an email to youraveragewitchpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.